Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. It only goes 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe that you are a hater. We got the Masters coming up pretty soon. So I decided we were going to do something that I do not know if it has happened in the history of ESPN or any other operation that wasn't doing straight ahead comedy. Man, Michael Collins.
What's up, man?
And the other is Roy Wood Jr.
Man. One of us knows about golf. The other one watches it on cable.
Hey, this is just really the random smattering of three black people. We had planned to talk about the Masters. First of all, you guys actually know each other from the comedy.
That's what's bananas. This is the first time we've gotten to talk to one another, like just hearing each other's voice.
I tell you, the last gig we did, I think it was like 99, 2000-ish.
Yes.
Somewhere in there.
Yes.
Picked you up in Roanoke, Virginia Airport.
Wow, they got an airport?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
they got a couple gates.
I didn't know. Yeah. I legitimately didn't know.
They got a snack machine and a TSA officer. His name is Doug. We know him.
Not the Roanoke International Airport, to be sure.
Oh, man. I want to know what the nation is. Who's catching that Toronto to Roanoke? But no, we got it here, Doug. Magic Johnson went out there last night and just said, you know what? I don't need this anymore. Any role.
Who do you blame?
I don't blame anybody.
Is that Magic getting out of the way?
Hold up, though. The fact that he was like, can one of y'all tell my boss real quick? you just come, you standing outside McDonald's talking about, hey, yo, tell Tim I ain't coming in there. All right? I'm out. And I'm going to say something that's probably going to make a lot of people mad. But, the first thing I thought after seeing all of this go down? The first thing I thought was, wow, I'd never thought in my life I would say Magic Johnson was a quitter. Because the dude was like, I quit, I'm out.
But see, what I think you're missing, though, is that Magic is one of these cats that everything has come easy to. And so when you think about it, that talk show, that was all for a month. When he was coaching, he did it for 16 games. Like, Magic could look around pretty quick and be like, nah, this ain't working.
This ain't working.
I'm going to go ahead and go on about my business. He did, does this count? Did he quit in the middle of his shift?
Yes.
I feel like he quit kind of like 4:30.
Yeah.
Nah, he quit. He quit when he looked around. Look, he said it. I'm not having fun.
Yep. How long do you define his shift as? Because this was understood to be a rebuild year and to get everything and get the pieces in place
and
see, get the rust off of LeBron.
Yes.
So was Magic's shift just this year or was it the entirety of getting the Lakers back to prominence?
See, that's a good question because I think the part that brings us to the shift portion of the lexicon is the fact that he did it in front of people. Like, it is one thing to go to the manager in the middle of the shift and be like, you know what, I'm just going to be out of here. It's another, and I don't know if I'm the only person that's been in line at the Burger King, and next thing you know, that paper hat comes off, and somebody has just decided they've had enough.
But, Mike, we've all been in a bad relationship.
Yes.
And when you know that relationship is headed towards a brick wall, isn't it smart of Magic to take the power back and break up with you before you break up with me?
Well, I think it was a different lane, though.
Yeah, see, here's the thing about how he did it, though. Like, that, right, the way that he did it is not the way where that's the high road where you win in the long run. Because, don't forget, we are going to all go through the same thing, too. Like, it's, oh my gosh, Magic walked away. I don't understand. And then in about a day or two, there's going to be some backlash too. We'll be like, yo, how you just going to walk? Like, if you're the Laker fan base, Magic was probably your boy if you're over 35 or 40.
Yeah.
And now you're like, yo, you just quit on us like that? Think about my team, the Philadelphia 76ers. We had a GM that came out and told everybody, yo, we gonna suck for 5 years. Y'all cool with that? I'm just letting you know.
Trust
we gonna
process.
Suck for 5 years, right? Look where we at now. Magic was potentially was gonna go through the exact same thing. Like, yeah, we got LeBron. Boom. Look how we roll. Wait, we still suck? Well, how long are we going? I love y'all. I got to go. I'm going to go. I'll be at a Dodgers game. Check it out. I'll see y'all later.
See, I think it wasn't even for Magic at this point. I don't even know if it was so much like how hard Magic thought the rebuild process was as much as it has to be said. This is the subtext in everything involving Magic Johnson.
Uh-oh.
No, they know uh-oh. It's the real.
Right.
Magic Johnson, it's 2019, and Magic Johnson is guess what? alive. You think that Magic Johnson kept on pushing to 2019 to be tripping on nonsense? Right? Like, you really think that? Man, you think Magic looking at this stuff like, yo, I can't believe I'm still here.
That's
you think
what I'm
about
saying.
To be worried about the Lakers? I
this
love
what
the
I'm
Lakers.
Saying.
I'm out.
I can't tell you how many text messages I got when this thing broke was like, how does Magic Johnson still look like that?
Yeah.
He's supposed to look like Flavor Flav.
No, you know no. why Magic Johnson is stress-free? Once yes. this got stressful, Magic is like, oh, why in the world am I going to be out here being stressed?
But how do you understand how much stress this must have been? Magic Johnson is also the same person who convinced white people to put Starbucks in a black part of L.A. when black yes. people wasn't drinking coffee.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Premium movie theaters in yeah. what many would deem to be non-premium neighborhoods.
This is where I agree with Roy right here, is when you say Magic got no stress, that's not true. It's not like this was his only gig. He's got other kind of jobs and he's got other businesses that I'm sure didn't just throw them down and be like, ta-da, no, I'm making cash.
No, you're right. But at the same time, Magic's primary job at this point, like, you know what Magic's job is with the Dodgers?
Ambassador.
Being Magic. Right? Like, show up. I'm the only person that everybody in this city loves, right? His job in so many of these places is, I'm going to go be Magic. Like, that movie theater idea, anybody could have done that, except Magic was doing it. So we like, yo, come look it out, Magic. If that had just been the AMC 8, they'd have probably tore that thing up.
Black people like, man, we ain't going in there. It's the Magic Johnson Theater. Right, we got to take care of this.
We going to do this, right? So Magic goes around being Magic. Now you got to, like, go do all this scouting and be on the road. Like, this ain't no second job. This is your job. And Magic's like, I don't want a job. I just want to be Magic. And he even said that. Like, yo, I just want to go back to being Magic.
Well, then just go be an ambassador for the team. Go handle recruiting free agents and then go back and kick it with Cookie whenever you want.
Yeah, that's what he's going to do.
Here's a bigger question, Mike Collins. Can champions be quality GMs and work in the front office? Because now I'm looking at Jordan because I see everything Magic is going through. And now I look over at Jordan as a Hornets, Bobcats, Hornets fan that I am. And I see Jordan be looking a little stressed too. Now, Jordan stick with it because he's competitive as
yes.
hell. But you didn't see him, man. Look at the jeans he wearing. He ain't even got time to shop no more.
Yeah, he's going does rock dad jeans. Tells you he's doing the job. But look, how many guys have been successful? What do we got? Jerry West, right? That's it.
More or less. Like what,
yeah, exactly. So there, it's not like one of those things where you can just make the transfer and go, because I was good at this, I'm automatically going to be good at this. It's the same when players try to become coaches. Like, how many mm-hmm. players think they would be great head coaches until they actually try to do the job and then realize, oh, this is why the coach was sleeping here every night?
Yeah.
the other stuff, I didn't know it was all that. Like, I thought I could just, like, work out with the team and do the teams. No, it's a little different. The gig is different, but that's part of what even the people closest to the situation, even they don't see all the nuances that go into the stuff. So I still think Jordan's going to be fine. Because I think he's making that transition. He's not like Magic. Jordan isn't the dude who's out smiling, you know, hugging people and kissing babies.
No, he doesn't like yeah. people. Right? Like that?
Yeah.
Well, he learned his lessons with the Wizards. Okay, maybe I shouldn't challenge my players to dunk contests at practice. Let me just be an actual front office exec in Charlotte.
Yeah, the other thing with Mike, though, is the big difference between Magic and Mike, and this is why Magic could do this the way he did it. Magic loves the life that he has, right? Magic yes. is just out here like, yo, baby, I'm good. I don't need this. He made everybody dap him up after he quit his job out of nowhere. He's like, yo, give me hugs. Give me love, right? He's going all the way right back into being Magic. Michael Jordan being Michael Jordan, he is the most wildly competitive person. Like, he's so miserable, right? Like, he's so miserable. We're like, yeah, okay. Mike's out here. Yeah, he gonna be stressed out about this losing because he can't handle losing. Magic is like, I won the biggest fight of anybody you know of. Like, put your biggest victory up. And watch Magic beat it, right? Like, watch Magic be like, yo, you know, it's really impressive that you climb Mount Everest. But, right? Magic ain't worried about nothing.
I don't think Magic ever sets foot in an NBA front office again.
No, he ain't never doing this.
No, he ain't never doing this job.
If the Knicks called Magic tomorrow, Does he send them the voicemail?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he hit call decline so quick on the Apple Watch, it's not even funny.
Like, I imagine, especially given the way Magic quit his job last night, Magic might answer the phone because it's a 212 number he doesn't know, and 212 numbers might mean money, right? Yeah. Like, all of us who've been trying to make it in a game somehow, some way, have been at that place. We're like, oh, snap, that's from the 212.
310s.
Right? 310 numbers, like, oh, snap, right?
Nope. I'm not doing it. The only number that now I'll pick up is 860, and it has to say Bristol.
Yes,
that's it. Because it's too many 212s and 310s.
That's how you know your life done changed, right? But Magic might pick up the phone and be like, Magic, this is Jim Dolan. Hey, Jim, click. Right? Magic ain't even saying bye before he hangs up, right? Or Magic might be like, hey, man, no disrespect, but you know I ain't going to come work for you. Now give me some love. Give me some love. All right.
Magic will pick up the phone and go, hello? And when he hears, hey, it's Jim Dolan. Ah, gotcha. This is a message, so just leave a message after the beep. Boop.
It's just very few employees in the corporate structure that have the ability and power to quit first and still have the upper hand. That's why I applaud it.
Yes.
I applaud Magic for all of the TV writers and all of the actors that find out their show is canceled on Twitter. And they never had the power. This is the first time a corporation found out on Twitter that they no longer had an employee.
Yo, think about how wild this was. This is so wild. Like, LeBron was in the arena last night. Nobody cares, right? This is just all like, I can't believe what Magic did. What a flex. What an extraordinary flex that this was.
That does show you the power that... that Magic got is because after the game, LeBron didn't speak, and there was no backlash on it. Nobody said nothing. Nobody was like, hey, how LeBron going to just walk out and not say a word to anybody? Everybody was like, ah, LeBron left. All right, we good. We're good. We got 40 from Magic. We're good.
Yo, and Magic was like, I want to tweet again. Magic basically said, this job is cramping my style, right? Yeah. I like to dap everybody up. I like to go holler at the homies when I see them at the game. Y'all out here calling this tampering. I call it magic. This is just
my whole
magic.
Career is tampering.
Right? There's only two people in the entire world that was angry that this happened. Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh man.
Stole the shadow.
See what I'm saying? Like, Dwayne Wade was like, you know what? I'm be leading on SportsCenter. This is going to be nice. Had this little giddy up goodbye. And Dirk will be number two coming out. We first ballot Hall of Famers. Man, this is nice. This is the swan song. Oh, what? Who? Magic.
Yeah.
Magic? Like, what?
What happened? He died?
How did he?
No.
He did what? Are you serious? They can't, all of it? I got no radio to do tomorrow at all? For real? Oh,
yo, true story. Dominique Foxworth is up here to do First Take because Stephen A was on vacation. I think Max was out. I think Molly was out. Dominique just posted up in the office right now because Stephen A is on TV right now in like a pullover burrito wool sweater because he didn't take those suits because he was traveling. But keep in mind, he is in Los Angeles. So yes. That means that Stephen A. Smith at 4-something in the morning was getting ready to come talk about this.
That's huge.
You know who else was supposed to be on First Take this morning?
Michael Collins.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, Mike, it's Gabe. I don't know if you heard the news about Magic, but we're going to we'll do the Masters. We'll touch on the Masters a little later.
I got that email. It was like, I know it's the Masters, and we're sorry. I was like, God, who says sorry to Augusta National? We do when Magic goes, I'm out, I quit, I'm going to have fun and get on Twitter. Bye.
Magic with the super flex. By the way, I want to throw this out here about Dirk, since we brought Dirk up. Do you know anybody who doesn't like Dirk? Like, who dislikes Dirk?
Nah.
Not even ex-teammates, nah.
You can't find anybody. Dirk is the most, like, liked player I can ever think of. Not that, like, he's not Magic Johnson, right? But there's people out here who didn't like Magic Johnson. He's like, you're not allowed to not like Dirk. He seems like such a fine young man.
Dirk gets respect like that white boy at a black high school that just hoops and does his thing. He never tried to be black and be hip hop. He just goes out there, gives you 20 and 15 every night. And they go, man, that white boy, all right.
But also, there was a period of time where the league was kind of punking Dirk and he withstood, right? He never fought back or anything like that. He just stuck around and won him a championship. And then we act like that whole time period never happened.
The dude that you are cool with if he shows up at the party, but nobody knows who invited him.
Yes.
Right? Dirk's the dude like, oh, snap, Dirk's here. Cool, man. That's all. You calling? Nah, I ain't calling. Oh, okay. No, it's cool, though. He's here. What a good dude. This is fantastic. Man, good time, but he's not the dude that you go, yo, we going out tonight. Holler at Dirk. We going out.
But, and by the way, Dirk is also the dude where you be at the bar like Dirk coming through. Oh, for real? Yeah, man. Dirk's ain't going to bring his girl. Oh, for real? The next thing you know, Dirk walk in there with Sonya. And Sonya, bad as hell. You're like, yo, why didn't you tell us?
I don't know if these two sports parallel, but is it fair to think about Dirk in the same way I think about Larry Fitzgerald in Arizona, where what could have been had he taken free agency and gone to another team?
Yeah, except Dirk got the ring, right?
The ring.
Yeah. He got the ring. He got the ring, but it's...
Now, granted, he ran through a Kobe buzzsaw.
Yes.
For a little while, and then there was a LeBron buzzsaw.
Yes.
And Tim Duncan buzzsaw.
Yes. And he got the ring over LeBron. Right? Like, his ring, I don't know if anybody's one ring count more for their legacy than the Dirk one ring counts for Dirk's legacy. I mean, he beat the team that the people I hate the most. Right? The 2011 Heat. Right? He beat them. And it was after they got punked all them
years.
They
were low-key baby warriors.
Yes, they were. Like, this is the arc. Nobody really talk about this. I understand why, but I might have to do it. So... they were like, what, a minute away from winning game three of the 2006 finals, and they probably would have won that series. Mm-hmm. But then they lost it, and then they lost every other game in the series, which then set up that next year against the Warriors when they just got straight up punked, right? They got straight up punked. The next year, they got smoked, and that's the year that David West tapped Dirk's jaw, like walked up to him and tapped his jaw three times to tell him to stop elbowing him. And Dirk just took it. But then come 2009. Do y'all remember what happened late in the year and in the postseason in 2009?
No, sir.
So when we found out that Dirk was dating that charlatan, who and his manager had to like get her up out of his life because he was the one that was running scams,
what?
And stealing jewelry. Oh yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, like a little shady chick.
Yeah. Oh no, not a little. I'm about to show you the stuff. Like it's been forgotten. It was a bad look. It was a really, really bad look. And a detail I will always remember from that story is how she caught up with Dirk. Is she called Dirk one time, like out of nowhere, calls Dirk, and Dirk answers, and she's like, oh, wrong number. I was trying to call my brother. But hey, who are you? Hi, I'm Dirk.
Wow.
Yes. She had run a con on Tony Banks, the old quarterback.
What?
Yeah. Yo, no, this was all in the news.
You know how nice of a dude you gotta be to fall for that, dude? Like, you know how, you gotta not have one pessimistic bone in your body to believe all of that you hear, and then not to have anybody in your camp checking until it was too late.
Well, it sounds like people were like, yo, Dirk, I don't know about this one.
I get if that scam, the wrong number scam, could work in the 80s on a landline.
True that.
But 2009 on a cell phone?
Yes.
And she ran game.
She ran game. And so somebody in Dirk's circle went and did the research. She'd been busted a bunch of times for all this stuff, right? I mean, it was all out. It was all very public. And while it was happening, Dirk was in the playoffs balling. He was killing it. And I was like, you know what? That man got more focus than we had been giving him credit for. And I feel like that was the turning point for Dirk. 2 years later, Dirk got him a championship. They was up at LIV with the Magnum bottles of champagne, living it up. Ain't nobody questioned Dirk since. Then we started to see, you know, we saw Dirk showing up to the arena with the full wrap plate. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, no, man. The Dirk story is really interesting.
Single ring more meaningful. I'm going to stew on that one.
You know what, though? I will say this. Even if Dirk never got the ring, I don't think it would have taken anything away from his career.
Except we'd still be calling him soft.
No, because of who he would have lost to. That's the thing. Like, we talked about, like, who you lose to matters.
Getting out of the West the entire early
Correct. That's what I'm saying. And then, yes. And then if they would have lost to the Heat, like you lost to a dynasty team, you lost to the next super team other than what the Lakers, you know, Celtics back in the day, like this was a dynasty team. So it's, if you lost to all these dynasty teams, then it's a little bit different than if you lost to, you know, like if the Clippers knocked them out 1 year or something. You know what I'm saying? Like there was nobody ever lucky punched them.
Whoa, hold on. They were the one seed that lost to the 8 seed. This was Dirk won the MVP and they weren't even still in the playoffs in time for them to give him the trophy. Like this is the thing I'll say for Dirk. I've forgotten about this, man. Dirk did something that we as African Americans very often set out to do before realizing that you can't do it. It's impossible, right? And you know what Dirk did? Dirk managed to change the way that people felt about an entire set of people. we used to have the Euros a soft stereotype, and Dirk all by himself pushed it out. When's the last time you heard somebody mention, yeah, he's a Euro, I think he might be kind of soft? That don't happen no more because Dirk won a ring.
Yeah.
Before Dirk, when's the last time we talked about seven-footers spreading the floor?
Oh, God, no, that was a game changer right there.
There's no such thing.
Oh, yeah, so he was just a beast on his
yeah,
own.
Yeah, yeah. You never had to step out on a big man taking threes until Dirk.
Right.
And he was raining them. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. You'd be like, oh, that was fun. It ain't like Manute.
Right.
Know? We up by 20. Go on, Manute. Let it go.
Tony Kukoc had an 18-footer. You had
yeah,
to risk.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. And I will be back in a minute to talk about the Masters. The average interest rate on credit card debt is over 18% APR. Whew, that's high. Have you looked at your interest rate lately? Refinance your high-interest credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LifeStream. Get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. The rate is fixed. It will never go up. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. Even get your money as soon as the day you apply. When you have good credit, you deserve great service and a low-interest fixed-rate loan from LifeStream. That's lending uncomplicated. Want to save even more? My listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Bomani. LightStream.com/Bomani. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Bomani for more information. Well, we got you, Michael Collins, because I know they're going to steal you away from us before too long. What's Augusta looking like? They playing James Brown on the course out there?
There has been some serious weather that came through and got the course soaking wet. So everybody talking about how it's going to be a bomber's course this week. But, like, right now, there ain't a cloud in the sky. And the Masters got all kind of, like, Augusta National got this super secret underground suction stuff. They call it sub-air, and it's supposed to just be on the greens. But let me tell you, I'm pretty sure they got it throughout the fairways, too. They just ain't tell nobody. They can get them fairways as dry and as fast as they want to. And they do the same thing with the greens. I mean, especially now, it's going to be – this is – I don't remember the last time when I can honestly say so many of the favorites got a legit shot to win, which then also means – that probably some no-name dude is going to win again. It's going to be, like, if you remember, there was a year when everybody was lighting up coming down the stretch, and it was like, yeah, it's game on. And then you were like, and the champion of the Masters, Charles Schwartzel. Who the hell is Charles Schwartzel? And why nobody pronounced his name right? Like, it looks like Charles. Why you say Charles? Because he's South African. That's how you say it. Oh. And he birdied, like, the last six in a row. So everyone is kind of holding their breath in anticipation because it looks like this Masters can set up to be big time. Rory McIlroy's playing good. Tiger looks
out. Yeah, I was saying, you finally got to it. We was waiting to hear on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, but see, the problem with Tiger right now, and y'all know I'm a Tiger fan. Like, he's somebody I would consider one of my boys. His putter, which is probably one of the most important. It's the most important thing at Augusta when it comes to if you're going to win the Masters, your putting got to be on. And his putter and him not getting along right now. Yeah. His ball striking is phenomenal. But his putting. One dude that's got helped out this week is McIlroy because Rory McIlroy is ready to win the Masters, which he is. After he blew up on a Sunday, like the first time he was truly in contention, and then he had a mental collapse every time he would show up here because this is the last major that he doesn't have. So this would be the career Grand Slam. So he's been doing all kinds of mental stuff, reading all these self-help books, and mentally he's ready. The only thing that would mess him up is if he got paired with Tiger. Because that apparently is the only dude this dude can't be paired with because he falls apart every time he's in a group with Tiger. And he's going to be playing right behind Tiger, which is perfect because all the madness is in front of Tiger or in the group. Behind the group, no, you ain't got to worry about nothing. The guy who's going to be hurt is Jon Rahm. the Spaniard who got to world number 4. This dude looked like a world beater. He just had a meltdown at the Players Championship, which I think could help him at the Masters this week until the pairings came out, and now he got paired with Tiger, and nah, he ain't ready for this.
Going back to Rory for a second, do you think, just in your golf expertise, is it harder to win your first major or the last one to complete the whole Thanos gauntlet?
The last one, of course. Look at Phil Mickelson and how many times he's been in position to win the U.S. Open. And if he wins it, he completes the career Grand Slam. And how many times did he just threw up one? He can't do it.
What'd he do? What'd he do?
Clean that off. I don't feel good.
So close, but not quite there. That sounds like the feds when they be trying to holler at Phil Mickelson.
Something like that. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I will say I love Phil to death too now, because this dude jumped on Twitter and is killing it on Twitter. He was so anti-Twitter for so long, and the fact that he's on Twitter now and, like, doing these calf exercises, showing off his calves, we all making fun of him. How you going to have calves that look like that and you can't get 3 inches off the ground, yo?
Yo.
You still got no vertical.
Did Magic Johnson kind of Phil Mickelson it when he quit his job? Because Magic Johnson did, like, one of those Phil Mickelson, why are you using that club right now? Don't you care if you win? And he's like, nah, man, I'm just out here hanging out, kicking it. I was like, I want to go back to being Phil Mickelson. He's just like, yo, yeah, I did, like, yo, that looks like fun. I'll do that.
Well, that's the thing. With Phil never takes the safe route, ever. Like, when you're like, all right, look, this is U.S. Open. All you got to do here, you didn't hit a good drive. Let's just punch out. We'll make par, bogey at the worst, and we'll get it back somewhere else. Yeah, but look, it's an 8-inch by 8-inch hole right through this little tree thing. Be like, that, hold up, man. You can't do that. That's not the smart. Yeah, I got this. You're like, you know what? Fine. Go ahead. Cause at some point, you just go, fine, do it. I don't care. Whatever. As the caddy, you just get mad. Fine, do it. And when it doesn't work, you don't say nothing because you already like, mm-hmm. Thanks for messing up my check. Way to go, dummy. Like, I can't say nothing to you. I can just give you the look and you know what it means. Like, it drives you absolutely crazy. But this is also why Phil has the fan base that he has, because his go for broke stuff. Like that shot that he hit when he won the Masters, the shot from the pine straw behind the tree, cutting it around. It was like, people talk about that shot. Oh, it was amazing. Best shot I ever saw at the Masters. And what people forget is he missed the putt.
Yeah,
3 feet. Miss. Nah, that's all right.
Hey, man, he like the Dominique Wilkins of this. You know, just like, yeah, man, you see that windmill? That's what I thought. That's what I came to bring you, man. So, like, what's the kicking it like during the Masters?
There's the one thing about the Masters, the corporate parties that happen this week, Monday night through Thursday night. I say Thursday night's like the last. There might be a party on Friday sometimes, but most of the dudes, because if they miss the cut, nobody's going to hang and party. But Monday through Thursday, this is the spot where everybody rents houses. Like, you ball out this week. Some people think it would be at Pebble Beach, but it's not. It's here. Like, people rent their houses out, and it pays the mortgage for the year.
Yeah, I've heard of people, like, literally leaving Augusta to go just stay with relatives in
Savannah.
People
do. There are houses out there that their note for the year might be $50,000, and they get it for the week. Bro, the Motel 6 here, $500 a night.
Yo.
When's the last time?
What in the Super Bowl pricing is this?
You. Yes, and the secondary market of tickets here is stupid because Augusta National cracks down hardcore on it. So if you get caught selling your ticket, you don't never get it back, ever. And that could have been in your family for a long time.
Yo, is there anything more ironic than staying at the Motel 6 to go to the Masters?
You know how many people would, though?
They do get this out to the common man. The common man really believe he got a piece of this.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, there are two tournaments that have to be on everybody's bucket list. This is the first one, the Masters, because this place, when you walk through those gates, it is literally like going to church on Easter Sunday and Christmas Eve combined. You understand the history of this place and you feel it, the good and the bad. It is similar to walking back into like 1958, 59. You know, so for us, there's a little bit of still that little uncomfortable feeling. Uh-oh. Like, yeah, just a little bit. I'm not going to lie. There's a little bit there, but it also is now 2019. So it's not like you walking around like somebody going to say something that's inappropriate. Like, it's not like that.
Right.
But you feel the history of this place. But even the bad makes you feel good. Then when you look around and you're like, this is how far this sport has come. This is how far we as a people have come, in that everyone walks in here and respects this hallowed ground and loves the feeling of being on this property. Because the green is different than the green outside the gates. I still, 7 years, I ain't seen a squirrel. One squirrel. Ask one of the dudes that got the green jackets, one of the members, yo, tell the truth, man. Why y'all got no squirrels here? What's the deal? And he like gave this sly laugh and said, oh, the trees on Augusta National are softwood and squirrels prefer hardwood trees. And you know what I said? I was like, well, there's softwood across the street and there's plenty of squirrels in them trees. Why are they over there?
You got them hitters out there.
Now, man, you hear all kinds of birds chirping. I ain't seen but two.
Yo, I still contend they need a statue of James Brown in front of that bad boy, because you can't say you Augusta or National if you ain't putting off JB.
Word.
I want to go so bad. What's the nightlife? Is there like, because I look at the people on TV, I'm going to be real. I look at the people in the galley and I'm like, I don't think y'all out there in the clubs.
No. Although last year Snoop was here.
And don't John Daly set up at a Hooters?
Sit right across the street. John Daly right across the street, because he ain't never been inside the gates, never played, but he sets his bus up, hangs at Hooters and parties. Last year, I hung out with Snoop. We actually played 3 holes of golf together, which was hilarious in itself. The nightlife is not like we're used to, you know, and I say we because I'm hearkening back to my comedy days.
Yeah,
because when it comes down to, yeah, we hanging, you know, a lot of the times when we was doing stand up, when we started out, we was in bars. So what, we was shutting it down at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Like now I'm getting up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. When I was caddying, or now to do an early morning TV hit and stuff. So the first tee time is at 8 something.
Oh, so people got to go to bed so they can get up and watch golf.
That's exactly right. And because at a place like this, you don't want to miss nothing. You don't want to miss anything. So when them gates open, like, you're not allowed to run, but you ain't never seen so many people do competitive fast walking in your life. You can set your chair down anywhere on that golf course and go leave it for 5 hours. And when you come back, it's still in the same spot.
I bet you it is, though. 501. Somebody has descended and snatched it.
I will say this. If you come here, you got to come on a Sunday, because when everybody leaves, there's a pile of chairs. You can grab as many as you want. However many you can get out. Because you're not going to take it on an airplane. You probably already came there, 50 pounds a bag anyway. You ain't got room for no 4-pound chair. So you can leave with a ton of Masters chairs if you want them. That's why, even though it's a 6-hour drive, I drive every year. Rent me a minivan. Thanks, ESPN.
You out here scooping up off that. You rolling out of there with arms full of chairs.
Maybe. I got friends that like Christmas presents. They never get to the. Look, if somebody invites you over to dinner, most of the time you take a nice bottle of wine, right? That's cool, but the wine's going to be gone at some point. Take over a Master's chair or a Master's flag. Now, the next time somebody else come to the house and they bring that $60 bottle of wine, they going to look at the wine and then look up on the wall and see that Master's flag, or look out in the back porch and see that Master's chair. And guess who's always getting an invite back to dinner? Not the person that brought the wine. Just saying.
Michael Collins, I know they about to pull you off to do something else,
chair,
man.
Salesman extraordinaire.
Yes, he is. Check out the podcast, Maddie and the Caddy. You got anything you want to tell people about that?
Oh, it's a lot of fun, man. Me and Maddie, we have a fun golf podcast that is almost at a year now, I think. You know, a lot of people, there's still a lot of people that don't know about it, but we have a blast. Look, that podcast idea came because of you, partly. So I'm going to give you mad credit.
Oh,
and
wow.
Tell her, listen to, you know, Maddie and the Caddy. If you like it, same thing, rate it, say what's up. If you don't like it, don't tell nobody. Let them find out for their damn self. But I want to give you some credit and props, man, because you introduced a whole new audience to me. 2 years ago, the very first time that we spoke on a Monday after the Masters went down. Because I know you're not into golf, or you weren't into golf at all, right?
I play a little, but yeah, I wasn't watching a lot of golf.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. And you certainly, golf wasn't one of the things that you enjoyed talking about.
Correct.
But I'll never forget the first time me and you spoke. And then afterwards, my phone and my Twitter blew up because of all the nice things that you said, even after we was done talking, and the fact that guys like me, you, and Roy actually enjoy golf a little bit and can talk about it to people who wouldn't ever normally watch or listen or care about golf. So the fact that you gave me an opportunity to be introduced to people and now they like golf and they like hearing us talk about golf and have fun with golf, I got to give you mad props for that.
Hey, man, I thank you.
It means a lot.
Yeah. Oh, man, I thank you. Because I remember that first time we had you on, I was like, no, this is great. We're going to have to do this all the time. this is the groove. Shout out to Shannon. Because I remember Shannon was like, so we got the guy. His name's Michael Collins. He used to be a caddy. I'm like, okay. And he's like, and he's African-American. I was like, oh, sold. Let's go. Let's see how this goes. But I didn't know which strain of African-American I was getting. And then I was like, oh, yeah, we can do this.
Nah, it's funny. It's natural. It's like, I never, like, in working with Mike in my early days, he'd have a, like, it'd be like, you know, you're doing 45 to 60 of an hour. He'd have a good 20-minute golf chunk. Who was the gentleman? Was it Payne
Fuzzy
Stewart?
Fuzzy Zeller.
No, it wasn't Fuzzy. Who's the gentleman that passed away on the airplane? It was Payne Stewart, if I'm not.
Yes. Yes, Payne.
When that happened, we worked the weekend together.
Yes.
Visibly shook off of that.
Yeah.
And still did his material and everything. And then you just, like, 10 years later, you just see your brother on TV talking about golf. I go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's where he's supposed to be.
But see, you too on Comedy Central. That's the whole thing. But that's the best part is when people like, I didn't know there was someone who looked like you and sounded like you in golf. I didn't know that was an option that was out there. And that's like the biggest compliment I get. And so, and that's all because of us, because of like this core group, this three right here, like we do things that people are like, well, hold up. I didn't know it was supposed to be like that. Like, Rory, that's what you're doing on Comedy Central. That's what I love about where you've gone to as well, is you've gone to a place where no one with your type of voice has been before, which is why people are like, this is why you blew up. And this exactly what you were supposed to do, because you bring a voice that people were like, hold up, I didn't know this was out there, and I didn't know people would say things and feel things the way I feel about them. So you get to represent people who had never been represented before.
Respect.
And that's the cool thing about where we're at.
Respect, man. Hey, all, man, we need now is Sal Masekela to talk snowboard.
That's right. That's right.
Look, let's talk soccer first. Let's
Mike, I appreciate it, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Anytime. Y'all too, man. It was great hearing your voice, Roy. You take care.
Respect,
we got to stay in touch a lot more now.
Indeed, man.
We'll be back in a minute to talk about NBA farewell tours, but first, the average interest rate on credit card debt is over 18% APR. Whew, that's high. Have you looked at your interest rate lately? Refinance your high-interest credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LifeStream. Get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. The rate is fixed. It will never go up. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. Even get your money as soon as the day you apply. When you have good credit, you deserve great service and a low-interest fixed-rate loan from LightStream. That's lending uncomplicated. Want to save even more? My listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Bomani. LightStream.com/Bomani. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Bomani for more information.
Mike told this joke that haunted me for years. He told a joke about trying to take a shower on a cruise ship, and the ship was turning, so the shower curtain kept touching him, and it grossed him out, so he had to keep starting the shower over because the curtain touched him. He took like a 40-minute shower. So fast forward years later, I'm on a cruise with my girl, and I just took a shower with the shower open. I'm like, I ain't letting that thing touch me because I know y'all don't wipe it. Freak me the hell out. So I went through this list. NBA players with only one ring that carry more weight than Dirk's. I present to you humbly Kevin Garnett.
He's up there. I feel like, though, because Kevin Garnett was on those sorry teams for so long that we was going to let him slide. Like, we was going to treat him like Ernie Banks, right? Like, damn, they did you wrong.
Also, Marino.
Yeah, yeah.
If
like
you'd have had a running
back. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If they'd done a little something for you, you might have had a chance. But Dirk, like, did you see the shot when he came in the arena and literally hundreds of employees were there to, like, clap and take pictures as he walked into the arena? Like, it was the wildest thing I've ever. They love that dude. Like, even the way they love Dwayne in Miami, that's still like a subset of the population that's in it in that way.
Yeah.
Dirk, Dallas, all about Dirk, man.
That's some Southern love hospitality thing. Miami is in the South. It's geographically South, but it is not Southern.
Right, correct.
Dallas is just a different type of endearment. Like, Dirk, forever, free Whataburger. If nothing else in his life, he can just walk around Texas as a made man.
Well,
North Texas. Okay. Yeah. North. All right.
We got to draw a line somewhere. Yeah. And that line is like probably a little south of Waco. Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere around Austin, it's like, all right, get your ass on back up 35. I think that Dirk's ring does mean a lot more to that city than KG's one ring means to Dallas, because it's also about what that did for the franchise and that town and the entirety of it.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, Dirk, a different guy. Actually, you know, if I'm Kevin Garnett, I know I didn't, you know, just play for one team like these cats, but I should have got a farewell tour. Like, now here's what I think, man. I feel like we're giving farewell tours to too many people.
No, but these are legit long-term relationships.
I agree, and that's why I think that giving it up for you at home makes all the sense in the world. Like what Dallas did with Dirk last night and what Miami did with Wade. But like when I was a kid, Kareem had a farewell tour. Kareem was like maybe the greatest player of all time.
So every team showed him love when he came to the arena.
Every team showed him love.
On the same level that, say, Jeter got. When Jeter went from city to city, he got a gift.
Look, when he went to Milwaukee, now granted he used to play there, they gave him a Harley Davidson.
A whole ass motorcycle?
A whole motorcycle. Imagine Kareem riding around on that hog, by the way.
That's probably the greatest retirement gift of anybody's retirement tour.
Gotta be.
I'm trying to think of anything more gaudy than that.
Gotta be. The only thing was, you know, Kareem had some money problems. I wonder if he's like, hey, man, I gotta pay the tax on this.
Yeah, let me go sell it.
Yeah, exactly. I already had the bread.
KG, come on. You can't give KG the same pageantry.
I feel like he's every bit as good as Dirk was.
So what you gonna do, parade him through all these franchises that he pissed off along the way and expect to get some goodwill?
I understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is we are being really generous with the farewell tour.
This is not generous. These are two Hall of Famers.
But Hall of Fame is not the standard. Like, I feel like top five or like that element. I ain't think Kobe Bryant should have got no farewell tour. It's for like the Jordan Kareem level.
Different. Kobe was kind of an ass.
Person. And they still gave him a tour because he was that cold.
So then that's just paying respect. Did you being cold not help the league as a whole?
I'm saying, thanks, Dirk. Great career. And at home, they should treat you like the hometown hero. But the league ain't 30 Dallas's.
So I know you're only saying this for Dirk, but not D-Wade.
Oh, no, I'm saying the same thing for D-Wade, too.
Oh, come on!
I don't think...
Was D-Wade not a nice gentleman to everybody? Did he not play the game the right way? Yeah, was he not competitive?
I don't feel like that standard is enough. There's others. We ain't give Shaq no farewell tour. We ain't give Akeem no farewell tour.
Akeem wouldn't have wanted one.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Akeem is unbelievable.
I feel like you making some assumptions just because he's from Africa.
First of all, Shaq played on 8 teams. He gave himself a farewell tour.
That's fair.
Because he went all over the league.
That's fair.
So he didn't need a farewell tour. We'd seen him in every conference, every jersey.
That's fair.
Every division. What about Paul Pierce? Gary Payton.
I mean, Draymond Green famously said that he didn't get no farewell tour. He didn't get no farewell. They don't love you like that. He think he Kobe. That's the coldest set of put downs ever. It did go a long way for Paul Pierce, but we don't think of Paul Pierce as like a top 20 player of all time. And people have Dirk Nowitzki in that zone because of the ring.
Paul Pierce think he is.
Well, Paul Pierce absolutely thinks that he is the top 20. My thing with Paul Pierce is, Paul Pierce, credit for being willing to share opinions that most of us find to be outlandish. but you can't be, but you can't be sensitive about it once you decide to be that guy. Like, once you're that guy, you gotta stand in it. You gotta be bulletproof.
Who playing today deserves a farewell tour? Of who's left right now?
Hey, LeBron, we ain't gonna say it don't matter how many teams LeBron played for. LeBron get a farewell tour.
Does he deserve it?
Yes.
Per year. Okay, so then yes. What are the metrics that separate LeBron from D-Wade? D-Wade does hella charity.
LeBron was a much better player. That's the standard. He was a much better player.
You're acting like Dwayne Wade was a baked potato. No. He was a steak.
No, I'm acting
like D-Wade was a prime cut steak.
He was a steak. LeBron, that steak that they charge by the ounce.
Market price. D-Wade is
exactly.
$50 cut.
Yeah, his price is on the menu. And look, that price is a showstopper, but they put it on the menu. Right? You understand?
You're being ridiculous.
How about being ridiculous?
LeBron is market price. Okay, that's fair. All right, LeBron, who else? Who else playing right
the
now?
The day may come that Steph Curry will get one.
Carmelo.
No, ain't no tour for Carmelo. Ain't no, she must be crazy.
But he going to the Hall of Fame.
He's going to the Hall of Fame. That's not, you gotta do more to go to the Hall of Fame. Mitch Richmond went to the Hall of Fame. We ain't got to have no Mitch Richmond farewell tour. You know? Like, no, like, now, does Russell Westbrook get a farewell tour?
Ooh.
Cause I mean, I don't know if he deserves a tour, but I'll be at his stop.
If he continues to play at the same trajectory and never leaves OKC, he's low key on some Dirk-ish, just without the ring.
Can Kevin Durant have his farewell tour so he can be booed in every arena? They won't be booed, but they'll just be treated with indifference.
I don't think Durant will get one. Rub people the wrong
way.
But
he's so good. I mean, Kareem rubbed people the wrong way. That's what I'm saying. Like, Dwayne Wade is like the third best shooting guard
Durant
of all time.
Durant deserves one.
But Durant don't
smile enough. The media's not going to. He dogged out the media from his locker every month. Durant be getting in y'all face. Can't stand y'all. That's a stupid question. Get on. And a lot of the hoopla around players when they're in their sunset is driven by the same media that you was rude to earlier in your
career. Fair. That's fair. I think our standard for the farewell tour needs to be a little tighter. That's all. And I found these things to be touching that we have seen. Like I say, when you get back to the crib, that's what a relationship is. Relationship with the crib, right? That's how it should go.
So every home game, praise D-Wade, but when you at Oklahoma City, just get your ass out there and play.
They don't care about no D-Wade in Oklahoma City.
I'm not saying he should get a tribute video on the road, but if the team want to give him an OKC jersey that say Wade on the back.
Yeah, put it on Instagram. Do it before the game.
Don't do it. But pregame hoop. You don't want no pregame ceremony and pageantry.
Emphasize your digital platforms. Put it out in that way. I mean, and look, I like D-Wade a lot. I like what I've seen. I just don't think it requires a league-wide tour. Like the thing they did in Miami last night was touching. I saw that. Did you see it?
Yes.
What'd you think about the guys who didn't have nicknames? Because I felt like he was like, we got JJ, J-Dub, RJ, Ryan Anderson.
What was even more touching was the Budweiser video.
That was amazing.
Where people that have benefited from his benevolence and charity or whatever came and gave him jerseys and shirts. And
including
stuff.
His mom.
Correct.
That
was one of them videos I had to scroll through a couple times. It was going to make me cry, and I'm a gangster, so I just watched them 30-second intervals.
I was sitting right there, and I was like, man, hurry up and get to the end, man. Hurry up. Why is this taking so long?
I think.
Tell your mama stop talking.
I think that the NBA is a star-driven league, and these stars come to these markets, and they do dope things to help keep asses in seats. And I think if my team is a B-level mid-market team, and I want to honor D-Wade. Yep. Damn it, I'm going to do it because I need these stars to suit up when you come play
you,
us.
You want the arena full of D-Wade jerseys.
I'm perfectly fine with that. If I'm the Sacramento Kings, you damn right when Dwayne Wade come to town, he getting a Kings Wade jersey so that the next star coming through Sacramento will suit up when they play us so we can have an entertaining product.
You know what? That's a good way to put it. And I had not also thought about it from the standpoint of, like, people really came to New York for D-Wade's last game. Like, I guess I didn't realize that people cared that much. Maybe I'm wrong on this one. Maybe I'm going too far. Maybe I misunderstood the love that these cats had generated all around America.
Okay, so when Dirk played his last game at Madison Square, I was there. Posted up with my homie Ronnie Chang from The Daily Show. Dirk checked in mid-fourth quarter, roaring standing ovation. Is that all he should get? That's enough.
I think that's a lot. Come on, man. You tell me roaring standing ovations don't feel good to you? That you don't appreciate them greatly?
Of course.
When
and the ref was kind. They held the ball on the inbound a little longer so he could get a little extra love. Like when you get your 1,000th hit, the mm-hmm. ump let you cheer a little longer or whatever at first base. It was touching. It was very touching. But I just think, you know, a nice little victory lap for certain players.
Yeah. I'm not hating on it, right?
Did Tim Duncan, he didn't get a victory lap.
Nah, because he retired at the end of the year. And if there's anybody who didn't want one, it is him, right? It'd just be 41 pictures of Tim Duncan. I mean, however many pictures of Tim Duncan with no haircut. I'm coming around on it a little bit, but I don't want to be clear.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I want to be clear. I'm not hating on the fact that these guys receive these things because they've been beautiful moments that we've seen all around the country.
I get what you're saying.
Thank you.
It's a very slippery slope. Yes. And then you start getting into them players that just, don't know if you should have got one. Maybe.
Yes. Yes, that is.
We're good and we remember you and that's enough.
That's it. That's enough. Yeah, the Michael Jordan farewell tour, they would have gave Mike eight farewell tours.
Scotty would have got one too.
Yeah, I guess. I waver from day to day whether Scotty is the most overrated or underrated player.
I love the revisionist history on Scotty Pippen and that people are starting to appreciate what he was able to do in Chicago.
Like I say, I still can't tell if he's the most overrated or underrated player of all time. It's one of the two, and I can never decide which one it is. I never liked Scotty.
As a player, he was balling.
I don't know why I was never big into Scotty. Like, as I do this now as a profession, I have to reconcile. Like, and those of you who are listening to me a lot probably can imagine that when I was younger and far less professional, I did not have very good things to say about Kobe Bryant. I have evolved as the years have gone on, and I can be critical of Kobe Bryant, but I do not, like, hate Kobe Bryant. Now, Shannon hates Kobe. I'm not in that place with him. I had to learn to shake it off, man. You know, to do my job properly, I had to, like, learn to shake it off, and I shook that thing off. But Scotty was retired by the time I started doing this job, so I didn't really have to think about it.
Ewan deserved a victory lap and didn't get it.
I think that's fair. If for no other reason than what they put him through in college. I feel like America owed Patrick Ewing an apology. Y'all out here waving bananas at that man.
Mm-hmm.
There have to be people that are looking at, like, D-Wade getting this farewell tour being like, where was my farewell tour? Somebody's at the crib right now, salty as hell.
Hell yeah.
Who's the saltiest? Well, Rick Barry is always the saltiest. You know how much people got to dislike you for you to be the coldest white boy that anybody remember playing basketball and you get no love in any circle whatsoever?
He's low-key the Chevy Chase of basketball.
Yeah. Oh, that's how y'all feel about Chevy?
Yeah, well, that's how everybody feels about Chevy. Chevy burned a lot of bridges. That stuff you can Google. He was not liked by a lot of people at SNL. This is all documented.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. I just didn't
information.
Know.
Brilliant talent. Not liked that much by his peers for a bevy of reasons. I think Rick Barry's in that Chevy Chase. Respect the skills. Respect the library and catalog.
Yeah.
But most people probably ain't going out to brunch.
Think about this, right? Everybody was so happy to get Larry Bird. We have a white superstar in the NBA. Like Rick Barry never existed, right? White people were like, nah, we need a better hero than this.
I tell you who's probably looking down jealous at D-Wade.
Hmm.
Clyde Drexler.
Yes.
I feel like Clyde, because he did it in Portland for forever.
Yes.
Got the rings in Houston.
Yes.
But I don't think, it's weird how playing with another player can make people lessen you somehow.
Yes.
Or forget. Not lessen, they just forget.
No, but you're correct. That's good. There's also some dude that's hating on it who has no business to hate, right? Like, where is Ricky Davis? Where does Ricky Davis stand on this matter? Something tells me that Ricky Davis can't understand why he didn't get a farewell tour.
Allen Houston.
Yeah. Like, what about me? Like, y'all forgot about me. Are we going to give Chris Paul a farewell tour? I think we are.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
From who? What, okay, here's the metric on how the probability of farewell tour. Players' relationship with other players and teammates and player set relationship with media.
Yes.
Chris Paul's is middling with both.
That's fair. That's fair.
Especially with players. That might not be public knowledge, but we're both around. Orbit of that. We know.
On his team, not on his team, same thing.
Correct. So I don't know if that's enough because you need players saying good things about you too. You need the media to go, Chris Paul, he's a good guy and selfless and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that ain't happening. There was a time when.
But here's what's messed up. He'll deserve one.
He will. He
still deserve it, and they probably won't give it to him just to spite him. Just like the T.O. wait one more year for the Hall of Fame thump across the ear.
Yeah.
To get back at you. And then you know what they'll do? They won't give it to Chris Paul, and they'll give it to James Harden.
Oh, yeah. They'll do somebody that just makes him look up and be like, all right. Okay, that's what we think. Y'all act like y'all don't see this.
They didn't play basketball that was sexy enough.
Here's one for you. John Stockton.
That's Utah. They all humble and stuff.
Right, but should he? I feel like John Stockton, I mean, he played the whole career there. And I realized I never had any reason to John Stockton was a little.
He retired assist leaders at the time.
Yeah, he's a bit of a dirty player. But I didn't really like super dis. I didn't dislike him like I disliked Jeff Hornacek.
Dirty how? But he wasn't like Bill Lane Beer dirty.
No, that's what made it worse. Grab. That's what made it worse, though. It was all the like undercover elbowing on screens and stuff. But I hated Hornacek. But I hated you could put my hate for Hornacek. You could multiply it by 55 times, and it is still coming up short on
Jeffrey.
The hatred for the my least favorite player perhaps in the history of the NBA, Karl Malone. You ain't no Karl Malone fan, were you?
I was indifferent on Karl.
I don't know anybody that's a Karl Malone fan.
I was indifferent. Of course, as a Southerner, I was kind of, you know, always like, well, you from like Arkansas.
Summerfield, Louisiana, I believe.
Yeah, it's from somewhere down by you. I was like, all right, a Southern man. And then
closer
just,
to you.
He would never say the right thing.
Ever.
The media would pitch him layups. How do you feel about black stuff? What's the worst thing I can say right now?
Yo.
I'm going to say that.
Yo.
He was like a calculated Charles Barkley. Like Charles Barkley say stuff without thinking. Karl Malone thought about it.
Yeah, dude.
And then said it.
And later in his career admitted that he had been trying to say the wrong thing, thinking it would help him get his bread, and it didn't. I'll never forget this. This is a headline from Jet Magazine once. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but this is as close to a quote as it could get. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with Jet Magazine, this won't do much for you. For those of you who are familiar with Jet Magazine, you'll get this. The headline was, Nets forward Derek Coleman calls Utah Jazz forward Karl Malone and Uncle Tom. That was the headline. Like, that was a story in Jet Magazine.
That was all about blackness. Right, Jet was black entertainment.
Derek Coleman called Karl Malone and Uncle Tom. And I don't think they put that in there because it was newsworthy. I think they put that in there because they felt that was news that their audience would appreciate.
It would. Jet Magazine was basically Black People Entertainment Weekly.
Yes, my dad always tells the story that when the early reports came out about Al Green and the grits, that the early reports were that she poured breakfast cereal on him, and that amongst black people, it was just, we'll just wait for Jet.
Yeah.
Jet gonna let us know.
Yeah.
and it did.
It was grits.
It did.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's Stockton deserved. He deserved his flowers.
Yeah, just long Karl Malone ain't get him.
Some of these players earn their reputation. And as a result, you don't get the free plaque when you come to our city. You don't get the Harley Davidson. Because you were kind of an ass.
But Kareem was, and he still got it.
To who, though? To the players? To the media?
He was just awkward.
Kareem did a lot of stuff outside the court that made people very angry. He had a lot of opinions outside the court.
Yes.
But on the court, I can't think of a lot of dirty maliciousness that
The closest thing to dirty is that time he broke Ken Benson's jaw in Ken Benson's first game in the NBA. You see that clip?
No.
All right. So, like, Ken Benson, I wouldn't say remember, but I wouldn't lie for this. But Ken Benson was like the number one pick out of Indiana. He was on that undefeated Indiana team. And before the game had been telling people about how he was going to mix it up with Kareem. And so he's like Kareem is like, so this is literally this dude's first game in the NBA. Kareem's trying to post him up. He elbows Kareem hard in the ribs. Kareem doubled over, took a knee, got up because the dude elbowed him and then just stayed in the paint like, yeah. Kareem got up, caught his breath, walked over, broke his jaw. Broke his own hand,
what?
Too.
Cold cocked him.
He caught him from that reverse angle, right? Like the fist come from back here. Bow.
Oh, that's took a perfect
out.
Angle.
That's how that guy started his career. And people like it was a sucker punch, and I disagree. That dude just thought he got away with something, and he knew payment was coming.
Well, yeah, you don't turn your back on somebody you just wronged. You got to square up. Like, that's,
he misunderstood what time it was.
Well, because he thought he was still in college. College, you do that, and you got to get me back within the play of the game. Kareem was like, "No, I'll take this suspension.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll take this injury leave."
And that's probably back when a punch to the jaw only got you 4 games. Something light.
Yo, people don't know. Back in the day, they viewed these things through a totally different lens. Like, there's somebody 29 years old that does not understand. Vernon Maxwell went to the crowd and punched a fan and got 10 games.
Yeah. Same thing Ron Artest did, that people went, oh. Yeah,
10 games.
Mad Max.
I saw a video of that for the first time a couple months ago. That dude absolutely had it coming, and I know it because when Vern went up there, he was not at all surprised. He just was unprepared.
Next time I'm in here, we need to have an all-time NBA crazy team.
Here for it.
We just need to just...
We can do that. Well, we've already just named our team captain.
Oh, it's Vernon.
Yeah.
It's Vernon. He's the captain. I feel like a P.J. Brown belongs in there for nothing else than the Charlie Ward body slam.
Yes. He won a playoff series for them with that.
I don't know. Maybe a Nick Van Exel. We'll see. We'll get into that next time.
We'll see. That is Roy Wood Jr. Check him out on The Daily Show. And they got the show got picked up?
Yeah, man. We got the pilot going. Jefferson County Probation TV show by probation officers handling their caseload. Little comedy. Wokety woke in there.
We're for it.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with it, man. We're going to shoot that down in Birmingham in May.
Oh, you're going to shoot it in Birmingham?
Yeah, they tried to push it to June and July. I don't think you understand what the South is like in June and July, and I'm not shooting exterior shots. If we go to series, I'm shooting in the winter. I would rather be outside in the winter than the summer in the South. I'm just not having it.
I can see that.
I just refuse.
There it is. Y'all check that out. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing a couple times a week. My man Gabe Bassain handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Thanks to our sponsor, Lightstream. Be sure to check out the Mediacom show this week. She's doing a mock draft with my man Joel Anderson. She's also got a conversation with Washington Husky safety Taylor Rapp. He's fast and he's Chinese-American. Might go in the first couple rounds. Her podcast is co-hosted by her dog, Lenny. He even asked a question. Remember, subscribe to The Right Time. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.